I'm Lauren.
And this is Mike.
And you're listening to Marriage is a Scream. And we're finally recording with not my phone microphone.
That's kind of a nice change, except for we've now had about 36,300 edits because I've been playing around with the microphone.
Yeah. And saying inappropriate things.
It's all audience based. It looks inappropriate to some, might be funny to others. Yeah, I find myself very funny.
Yeah. That's why a lot of your stuff is edited out.
That's a shame for the listeners. At some point, we'll offer a Christmas gag reel for all of those edited out moments.
Probably not.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay, so before we get to our story of the week, I have a couple of shout outs that we want to give. So the number one shout out is going to go to the Misery Machine podcast. Yurgi and Druby did Yule Lads this week and Gryla. And they mentioned our podcast, and Yurgi called our topic hag attacks.
Nice.
And then I thought it was funny because Druby used a plural. So they were talking about the Yule Lads and about how there's 13 of them and they all look like Santa Clauses. And he refers to Santa Claus in the plural version and he turns it into Santa Cly.
That makes sense. Santa Cly.
So that was great. So I would highly suggest going over to the Misery Machine podcast. They have some very funny stuff going on.
Well, and that's not a bad idea because misery loves company.
Yeah. And we can be company.
Yeah.
So I also want to mention Bros Before Ghost.
Very good name.
They actually have their first podcast episode coming out on Wednesday. So
the day after the listeners hear this one.
Yeah. So it's perfect.
We're hoping that some of our 200,000 listeners, which is a small exaggeration, switch on over and listen to their podcast also. We will be. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
So good luck to Colin and Chuck. I also want to give a shout out to Book of Lies. They're basically two sisters talking all about Dirty Liars.
Well, they're probably very, very busy. There will be no shortage of material.
I also want to give a shout out to our true crime podcast. Michael and I actually listened to the Bobby Greenlease episode last week, I think. And it was very good. It was very informative.
For who was that?
For our true crime podcast.
Oh, yes. I remember that one. It was very good.
Also, at the beginning of the week, or actually this weekend, I listened to Art Sistery. They talk about artists on their podcast. And I think their most recent episode was on Michelangelo. And they reference, they're talking about some of his paintings and stuff. And I think they say that it's naked soup, stew of nudes.
I was doing that, making ham and bean and cabbage soup.
You weren't doing it naked, though.
In my mind, I was.
Also, thank you to Mountain Murders podcast for the shout out last week. We listened to the Lena Lunsford case together, and although it was a very sad case, it was a good one. You guys did a really great job.
Actually, I just want to comment. We also listened to the other one that you guys did around Thanksgiving, and I believe it was your drunk podcast. That was fantastic. I truly enjoyed it, found it inspiring, and I'm looking forward to relatively soon doing a knockoff of that and maybe a tequila podcast or some other kind of our own inebriated podcast. It looked too fun.
Vodka, since I get drunk so
vodka
quickly.
Vodka cast. We could do vodka cast. And then we're working on making arrangements, and we're probably going to slide down there to see the live version of their podcast.
Yeah. So they have a show on January 18th in North Carolina, I think. And it'd be cool if we got to see them there.
I'd like to.
I'd also like to say thank you to Rob Phoenix. We interviewed him on Saturday, and we haven't released the episode yet, but I'm hoping to release it next weekend. We had a really great chat with him.
Yeah, it was a nice session. I enjoyed talking to him and getting some more information on Powwow.
And then one last podcast that I want to give a shout out to is the Wicked Weird podcast. I will just say I listened to I think, their first ever episode, and I decided it would be a good idea to listen to it while we were going to sleep, and it was so terrifying. So Michael fell asleep before I did, and he's laying next to me snoring, and with the podcast on and with Michael snoring, I was so scared that I literally had pillows covering any direction that I could look in, because I was so afraid that I was going to open my eyes and see a face.
I don't think anything will come around with that light snoring that I do.
And then I couldn't, that was like adding to the noise pollution kind of because of Michael snoring. And so I like was so afraid that I wouldn't hear whatever was going to pop out from under our bed.
So you'd never hear the door open.
So I had to, like, I was 30 minutes in and I had to shut it off. And I like waited until the next day to listen to the rest
of it. I can tell when I'm coming home, now that it's wintertime, when I'm coming home from work, I can tell when you've been listening to scary podcasts, because our house looks like an easy bake oven because every light is on in the place and we're heating by light bulbs.
Yeah, I have to heat with something since you keep our heat on 54.
Did you turn it up?
Michael used to keep it on 62. Now we're stuck at like between 54 and 59 degrees. So anybody at home right now complaining about your significant other or your parents or whoever putting the heat on to like 62 or 64, just don't complain about it, because you could live with Michael and it could be on 54 degrees.
I do that so that the house, whenever you walk through the cold haunted zones, you don't notice it. That way you know that you don't think the house is haunted that way.
I still do. It is. Our house is haunted, just so everyone knows.
The ghost doggy.
Yeah. So the owners of the house from the 70s who did major renovations on the house when
the house was built in the 1850s, 1840s? No,
1790. They came over and they were showing us pictures of the house. And Michael and I have both had experiences, which maybe we'll talk about another time. And I didn't think anything of it until they told us that when they went to renovate down in the basement where the original hearth of the house is.
Yeah, the original foundation.
They walked in and there was a skeleton of a dog laying on the ground, and it still had the collar and the chain attached to it. So I think that we have a ghost pup in our house.
It's a pretty cool puppy.
Yeah, he just needs cuddles and love because he didn't get it in his real life.
Well, cuddle the ghost dog and then we can turn it down to 50.
Okay, so now that we're like 10 minutes in talking about crazy stuff, we're going to get into the regular podcast episode, and it's going to be on sleep paralysis.
Cool. Well, I don't get paralyzed when I sleep, but I'm interested to hear about it.
So sleep paralysis is the temporary inability to move or speak that occurs when waking up or falling asleep. During an episode, the person may hallucinate audibly, visually, and even physically. Naturally, you would be afraid.
What is
of
a
this.
Physical hallucination?
I mean, like they feel things touching them and whatever.
Oh, okay. So they think that they like feel pressure.
I actually talk about it a little more later. Okay. I give some more specific things that you would hear or see or feel.
Okay.
So naturally, you'd be afraid. Like you're half asleep. Like you're still technically in your sleep cycle and you're waking up and you're like hallucinating. That would be pretty terrifying. This normally lasts less than a couple of minutes. It may occur as a single episode or it could be recurrent.
Okay. So people can have repeated events of sleep paralysis?
Yes.
I always thought the sleep paralysis thing was, and I'm sure we'll get into this, was like a byproduct of a paranormal event happening to you or around you while you're sleeping. You know, like people dream that there's, you know, demon holding them down or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always like rush the story.
Oh.
You always rush the story. So we're just going to talk about this from a scientific standpoint right now. And then we're going to move forward into the paranormal side. And then towards the end of the episode, we'll have some stories. Okay. So there are more than 3 million cases per year of sleep paralysis.
Just documented. So that doesn't count to people who never turn anything in.
So yes, 8 to 50% of people experience sleep paralysis at some point in their life.
So wait a minute. The statistic is truly 8 to 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really narrowing it down. So somewhere between 0 and 100% of the people experience a sleep paralysis event.
So 5% of people have regular episodes of sleep paralysis. It's not discriminatory. There are equal cases between men and women, but it may run in families. So it might be genetic.
Okay.
It can be confused with a couple different things. So it's diagnosed based on how a person describes it, because most of the time they don't catch it. I actually watched a video earlier where they did catch a guy in sleep paralysis, and it lasted less than a minute probably. But most of the time they don't catch it happening.
Well, how did they catch it? I mean,
he was going in for like a sleep apnea test kind of. And so they're recording him all night, and it just so happened to happen the night that he was there.
Yeah, but what did they see? They
saw him, like, you could see his eyes open and moving, but his body wasn't moving. Like, he couldn't move his body.
And what did he say when they came out of it?
You can't hear anything. You can only see what's happening. And then, like, he sits there for a few seconds, and then he calls the nurse in. And the nurse makes him hold the button in his hand, just in case it happens again, and maybe he'll be able to move his thumb to push the button or whatever. But he said it didn't happen again, so. But you can see his body, like, stiffen up, kind of. And you can see his eyes moving, and he kind of looks like a little bit frantic. And then you see it release. So based on how they explain it, like, the symptoms are very similar for a lot of different things. So narcolepsy being one. I think it's atonic seizures, hypokalemic periodic paralysis, and night terrors.
So night terrors are a type of sleep paralysis?
No, it's not a type of sleep paralysis. It's confused with sleep paralysis sometimes. So sometimes people don't explain things correctly, or it could just be misdiagnosed as a night terror. Treatment includes reassurance. So just, you know, telling people like, oh, this is normal. People have this sometimes. Like, it's okay. Just know that, like, whatever you're seeing or feeling isn't real and whatever. Sleep hygiene is a big one. So getting a regular 8 hours, going to sleep at the same time every night, stuff like that.
Okay.
Like making sure that you have good sleeping habits. Cognitive behavioral therapy and antidepressants. So sleep paralysis takes the blame for alien abduction and other paranormal events.
So I'm interested. I'm sure if I ask my question now, you'll just tell me wait till later. So I am interested.
You want to whisper it to me?
Okay, I'm interested to see how alien abduction works with sleep paralysis. Wait till you're sleeping to come down and snatch you?
Let's talk about symptoms.
Okay.
Being unable to move during awakening. That's not the only thing. So actually, there are two things here going on. Hypnagogia, I think that's how you say it, is experiencing onset of sleep. So if you're not like fully asleep, you can experience your body going into a sleep state.
Heck, I've done that. You know, you're just like, you're at that drift off point, and all of a sudden you just twitch, or you have a little dream that you're falling off a chair.
Different.
Oh.
So this is normally when lucid dreaming occurs, or lucid thought. So I've actually tried to put myself into a lucid state before, and I have stopped trying to do that because I'm so afraid that I'm actually going to accidentally induce sleep paralysis, because there's a fine line between lucid dreaming and sleep paralysis, and I think that's scary.
I don't know. I must miss out on the whole thing. I think I go straight to snoring.
So when you go into sleep, when you go into lucid dreaming, you actually can experience hallucinations, which I think is what's most scary. And they just tell you to just wait it out.
What choice do you have?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a coffee.
How about not trying to lucid dream? You can just sit there and ignore it, I guess. And then there's also the hypnopompic state, which is the state of consciousness leading out of sleep. So we have two things at play here, and sleep paralysis can be caused by either. So it can be caused by the hypnagogia, which is experiencing onset of sleep, or hypnopompic state, which is the state of consciousness leading out of sleep.
I feel a little bit deprived.
Of what?
I fall asleep in less than a minute, and then I wake straight up. No, I don't. I just, like, all these things you talk about, I'm like, I don't experience this.
A lot of people don't experience it.
I wake up, I get up.
And, you know, I've actually been hovering around some sleep paralysis groups just to get a better understanding. And some people, like, they did this whole thing where they're like, oh, do you think your sleep paralysis is a curse or a blessing? And it was a mixed bag, you know? Some people are like, oh, I hate my sleep paralysis so much. It really affects how I am and, like, whatever. It's really scary for me. And then other people are like, I love sleep paralysis because if you figure out how to control it, then it leads to lucid dreaming and stuff, and you can control what's happening and what you're seeing. Huh. So some of the symptoms we have are obviously being unable to move during awakening, or, you know, as we just talked about, it's not just awakening, it's also falling asleep. You might experience sounds, which they want you to know are imagined sounds. I am not a doctor. Michael's not a doctor. I don't think you're a doctor. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Well, depends on the topic.
Don't worry. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. No, we're not doctors. So this is just from research. I don't actually have a real point of view on it because I've never experienced it. So I don't think that it's fair for me to say whether this is true or whether, because apparently it feels very real. And some people think other things. So this is just the science.
I think it's and very cool. I've just never experienced it, so yeah. I don't know anything about it.
So some sounds you might hear are humming, hissing, static, a zooming sound, a zapping sound, and buzzing. Some people also report hearing voices, whispers, and roars. And this is normally accompanied by intense emotions of fear or panic. Well, fear and panic. And sensations of being dragged out of bed or of flying. Numbness, okay. Electric tingles, and vibrations.
Just interrupt you for a second. What? The very first two-thirds of that describes anybody with small children in their life. Voices whispering, being dragged out of bed, fear. That's all small kids. They're awake. They're coming downstairs. Oh, good God, I have to get up.
I will say I've been terrified many times by a little tiny toddler staring at me while I'm sleeping.
The creepy, starry toddler. So what you've just described, any of our listeners that have small children are sitting there going, what the heck, that was last night.
This, obviously, these things can cause hallucinations. Some people have hallucinations of supernatural creatures suffocating or terrifying them. Accompanied by a feeling of pressure on their chest and difficulty breathing. Some people also say that they see a shadowy figure entering their room or lurking outside of their window.
It's a mare.
A mirror?
A mare.
A mare?
Not a mirror, a mare.
Oh. Michael and I actually watched a movie before this, and I'm going to reference that movie a little bit later. So the subject is obviously paralyzed through these hallucinations. So why is your body paralyzed while you're sleeping? So there's two brain chemicals to blame for this, glycine and GABA. It causes muscle paralysis during the REM cycle to protect you from acting out your dreams. They don't know what causes sleep paralysis. There are only theories. So theory one, sleep paralysis is a parasomnia or sleep disorder resulting from dysfunctional overlap of the REM and waking stages of sleep. Studies show that individuals who experience sleep paralysis have shorter REM sleep latencies than normal, along with shortened NREM and REM sleep cycles and fragmentations of REM sleep. Another major theory is that the neural functions that regulate sleep are out of balance in such a way that causes different sleep states to overlap.
If your body is releasing chemicals mm-hmm. to keep you from acting out your dreams during REM, well, when your alarm clock goes off and you're in the middle of dreaming, for me, I get straight up. There's no, like, I can't move. I say, okay, time to get up.
But REM cycle doesn't happen. It's part of a cycle. Sure. In your sleep cycle, REM cycle is a very small portion.
Okay, but that's my question. The alarm goes off when you're dreaming, which I've had happen. I'm in the middle of a dream, and you get woken, and you're like, oh, man, that's the best part of the dream. I want to go back. How come I was able to move?
I think that it's just saying,
I think, like, we just blame the aliens.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that it's just saying that there's obviously a chemical imbalance, and there are probably chemicals in your body that tell your tell you when you're waking up that you're waking up and help you do that. And maybe people who experience sleep paralysis don't have enough of that chemical. And so it's not helping them wake up like they should be.
Okay.
So they say a hypervigilant state created in the midbrain may further contribute to hallucinations. The emergency response is activated in the brain when individuals wake up paralyzed and feel vulnerable to attack. The helplessness can intensify the effects of the threat response well above the level typical of normal dreams, which could explain why such visions during sleep paralysis are so vivid.
Okay.
We're actually going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the lore connected to sleep paralysis.
And aliens.
I don't have many alien stories.
Oh.
Maybe someday.
I thought maybe they were coming down to... You said there was abduction
during sleep paralysis. I mean, maybe we'll have an alien episode at some point.
About sleep paralysis?
No, just about aliens in general. And about, you know, being probed and stuff.
Nice.
I know that's your fave.
It is. I'm glad we're going on break. It's time for...
Just stop talking right now. Oh. Okay, that's enough.
We'll be
right back. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the lore behind sleep paralysis, because obviously if that many people have been experiencing it, it's not a new thing, and it happens all over. As we talked before, it's not discriminatory of who it affects. As Yuri said before, hag attacks. The night hag, or old hag, or even sleep demon are the names given to the creature that people often wake up and see during sleep paralysis. They say that the nightmare actually is what causes sleep paralysis. So it's like they're in the middle of a nightmare and they wake up and they're still having the nightmare.
Hey, I have a question. It's just now that I'm hearing it. What? So, right, we watched that movie. We alluded to it a little bit ago. You're probably going to talk about it again. But the creature was called a mare. So that was.
Mare.
Not a mare. Mare. M-A-R-E. Mare. So, is that a nightmare? Meaning,
actually,
the mare that comes at night?
The name, I'm actually going to, I think I have that in my notes somewhere. I think I do talk about that at some point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And if there's a nightmare, can there be a day? Mare?
Mare. Mare. Come here.
Where's your R?
Because nobody knows what we're talking about, and while I'm sitting here reading, we watched this video of these two girls from two different places, and they're pronouncing words differently, or like sharing the words that mean the same thing but are like different words. And they talk about the word mirror and how Americans say it like there's only one R, so it sounds like mirror.
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 Look in the mirror.
Mirror.
Like, where's your other R?
And it's really funny. And now that's all we ever talk about. That's the only thing Michael and I have in common. Mirror.
And mare. The nightmare.
Oh, God. This has to stop. So, yeah, Michael and I watched this movie, this Swedish movie called Marianne. I highly recommend it for anybody wanting to watch a movie about sleep paralysis. I guess it really wasn't that scary.
It wasn't scary at all. In fact, it wasn't too bad, because most times the movies you select put me into sleep paralysis. I fall asleep. That one actually kept me up.
And honestly, the dude deserved pretty much everything that was coming to him.
Truth.
Almost everything that was coming to him.
Don't give away the movie.
I'm not. I'm just, I don't want people to think that I'm okay with one of the things that happened.
Yeah, the guy was a dirtball.
Yeah, the guy was the worst. And the movie's very confusing, but just watch it till the end and they, like, tell you everything. But yeah, they talk about in the film, his sleep paralysis is caused by a mare.
Mare.
Mare. And that's where the word nightmare came from, is from the mare. So they say people are jolted awake by the feeling of a malevolent being sitting on their chest or the foot of the bed. The word nightmare was used originally to describe this. Now it's all-encompassing for, like, sleep nightmares. Like, you know, while you're asleep.
While you're actually asleep.
Yeah, right. I figured that was for sleeping.
So in Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis is caused by a mare, which is a supernatural creature related to incubi and succubi. The mare is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried mysteriously during sleep and without her noticing.
Damn woman.
So basically they're saying that this woman has been wronged by somebody or is damned, and she basically astrally projects her body to these people, I guess. And it says, in this state, she visits villagers to sit on their rib cages while they are asleep, causing them to experience nightmares, which is where the Swedish film Marianne comes in. That's what she does to him. Like, a mare visits him and gives him his sleep paralysis. In Newfoundland, South Carolina, and Georgia, they describe the negative figure of the hag who leaves her physical body at night and sits on the chest of her victim. The victim usually wakes with a feeling of terror, has difficulty breathing because of a perceived heavy, invisible weight on his or her chest, and is unable to move. This nightmare experience is described as being hag-ridden.
Huh.
Sounds like a good time.
All right.
Have you ever been hag-ridden?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay.
Suffice to say, yes.
Okay.
And not in a dream.
Recently?
Not recently.
Okay, good. Because we'd not be doing this podcast anymore. In Fiji, they have Kana Tavoro, which is being eaten by a demon. In many cases, the demon can be the spirit of a recently deceased relative who has come back for some unfinished business or has to communicate some important news to the living. Often, persons sleeping near the afflicted person say Kanya Kanya, which is eat, eat, in an attempt to prolong the possession for a chance to converse with the dead relative or spirit and seek answers as to why they have come back.
Huh.
So could you imagine, like, watching somebody have sleep paralysis and, like, basically yelling at an invisible force?
Eat, eat.
Eat, eat. So that it lasts even longer.
Eat them.
It's so scary. The person waking up from the experience is often asked to immediately curse or chase the spirit of the dead relative, which sometimes involves literally speaking to the spirit and telling him or her to go away or using expletives.
Oh.
Yeah. In Turkey, Karabasan Jin comes to the victim's room, holds him or her down hard enough not to allow any kind of movement, and starts to strangle the person.
Rude.
In some stories, the jinn has a wide hat, and if the person can show courage and take its hat, the jinn becomes his slave.
Oh, very cool. What can you do with an imaginary slave?
I mean, obviously, you'd send sleep paralysis to other people.
Oh, that's it? Oh.
I guess so. You got any enemies?
No.
Southern U.S. states.
Okay.
Wink, wink. In Eastern China.
Is that the name of a club in Salem?
Shut it. I don't think so, but that's a really good idea. In Eastern China, it is thought that a mouse can steal human breath at night. Human breath apparently has it strengthens the mouse, allowing it to briefly become human at night. The mouse sits near the person's face or under their nostrils.
That's a booger.
Stop. So yeah, do you have any?
No.
Weird good. Questions, because you normally do.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So we're going to go on to some stories. Maybe I can freak Michael out. Probably no. But these are not listener stories just yet. By the way, these are just stories I found on the internet. I went to luciddreamsociety.com and they have a ton of stories on there. So
do they have a common theme in the stories? Or
yeah, just, it's sleep paralysis.
I get that. But I mean, when they talk about their paralysis.
It's scary.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. One night I woke up to what I thought was the sound of footsteps in my hallway. I was laying on my back, which immediately made me confused and a bit nervous because I never sleep on my back. I tried to turn my head to see where the sound was coming from, but I couldn't move at all. The panic set in, and I heard the source of the footsteps come into my room. Now, although I could not see the figure, I knew it was a home invader. I could feel him standing on the opposite side of my bed, silently staring down on me. He had some sort of weapon in his right hand. I believe it was a knife. I swear my heart has never dropped in race like that in my entire life. I kept trying and trying to move or scream, but I was frozen in place. It felt like hours.
Huh. That's it?
Yeah, that's the end of that story. Well, remember, they say sleep paralysis lasts less than a couple of minutes.
Right.
But to these people, apparently it feels like a very long time. There's no more part of
the story. I woke up, nothing was there.
Yeah. Oh. No, it doesn't say that. So this is the second story. I heard footsteps coming up the stairs of the attic, which ends up right beside my bed. I couldn't see anyone coming up, though. Suddenly, I realized I saw something in the corner of my peripheral vision, and I could hear it breathing. When I slowly rolled my eyes to the side, I saw the small head of a white-faced troll grinning and staring at me. Oh!
Is that
my
the
worst
boy?
Nightmare. Yeah.
That's like waking up with
if
the
you're
voice
a parent,
there.
If you're a parent, that's just your child.
Yeah.
So stop freaking out.
Staring at you to tell you the sun's not up yet.
I panicked and suddenly all the phones in the house started ringing. This ringing sound built and built louder and louder. It scared me and I knew for sure that I had permanent tinnitus. After this short moment, which felt like a really long time, I had enough strength to locate and lift my arm. This immediately stopped all the hallucinations and I woke up without tinnitus.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the third story. This one's going to be so scary. And there's some cursing in here. So.
No.
Yeah.
Well, let me know when it is so I can plug my ears.
Yeah, your poor virgin ears.
Yes.
To me, the paralysis always happens in cycles. I always sleep on my side or on my stomach. I actually hear that a lot. I hear that people will... I've heard that sleep paralysis is more likely to happen if you're sleeping on your back.
And I was going to say, I sleep on my side or my stomach.
And people will sleep on their side or on their stomach just in case anything does happen so they don't have to worry about looking at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, if you're sleeping on your side or on your stomach, there's no way for something to sit on your chest.
No, sit on your back.
Maybe. Recurring experience for me is feeling something evil floating over my bed, slowly coming down towards me. Even though I never see it directly, I somehow always feel and know it has this very wide grin on its face. It may not sound very scary coming to think of it, but the fact that it's always the same damn Babadook-ish grinning dark mass motherfucker makes me feel super creeped out.
I could see that.
Back when I was hooked on FFX.
FFX? What's that?
FFX. I was playing way too much. Oh, I guess it's a game.
Oh, maybe that's like Fast and the Furious 10 or something.
FFXI. Oh, yeah, maybe. I guess so. I don't know. I'm not hip with...
I don't do video games.
I sound like an old lady. Yeah. I'm not hip to all these newfangled gadgets.
You like the TV?
No. TV is old now.
Oh, streaming.
It's old. Like, people are like, what are podcasts?
That's what old people say.
Yeah, my grandma would look at me and be like, what's a podcast? I was playing way too much while neglecting my sleep. One evening, I went to bed stressed. I then spent a while tossing and turning in bed. Upon turning to my right, I was face to face with the dead body of an old man.
You experience that every night.
I'm breathing.
Yeah, this makes it creepier. You roll over and say, That's why you don't get sleep paralysis. You're living it. You're like,
that's not a demon. That's just my husband.
I'll just roll over this way.
Oh my gosh.
That is not the smell of sulfur. That's just my husband.
That's terrible. He had some kind of scaled reptilian skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, see, we're still on track.
I think I sent this in.
Yeah, it might be. I'm waiting for the difference.
After around 5 seconds, which felt much longer, he started to vanish. Then I could feel some kind of omnipresence outside. It was super early in the morning, so it was turning light. However, the sky and natural light began to dim rapidly as this presence was making its way to my room. I could feel it growing and growing as the window went pitch black. The pure evil darkness began to seep into my room, so I jumped up and got the hell out of there, splashed cold water over my face to stop all of this onslaught.
Okay, so that was like our normal bedtime.
It's kind of rude. I don't want to like make light of what these people are experiencing.
I agree. I mean, the things that people are going through, you know, as I goof around and joke, I'm sure it is absolutely terrifying. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I currently don't wish it on myself. But yeah, I'm not making light of the experiences they had. I'm making light of the fact that you're kind of living through the version of them live.
No, I love you.
I love you.
Okay, thanks. We're done. Okay, this is the last.
Another break.
Shut up. Mind you guys, our breaks normally last about 5 minutes, so.
So that's like twice.
Shut up.
Plus a drink.
You're the worst. Okay. My mom listens to this.
Mine doesn't. She's dead.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Not to you. No.
For our 200,000 listeners.
We're never going to make it to that because you. Okay. This is the last story I'm going to tell, and then I'm going to read our listener stories, which actually most of those came from other podcasters, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yep. Well, we already gave them a shout out, but I'll give them more. I'll give you guys more shout outs.
Your thank yous were the first 37 minutes of the show.
Yeah, so you guys are welcome. I was sleeping in my bed and woke up paralyzed. I looked at the wall of the hallway where we have a painting. It was slightly oblique. Also, it was a different painting. Then I see my brother's arm that puts the painting in his natural position. At the beginning, it felt like a dream. Then I said to myself, what the fuck is my brother doing here in the middle of the night? And I realized that I was yet again in sleep paralysis. And then things got worse. The painting changes, revealing the face of the witch from The Wizard of Oz. She isn't really that scary looking, but holy fuck, it was terrifying. At that moment, she laughed and she jumped out of the painting and came into my bed. I just closed my eyes in complete terror and felt something like 6 arms grabbing my whole body. It stayed like this for 5 seconds before I managed to free my arm from that fucking nightmare. Sorry for all the dirty words.
You know, the thing I always thought would be kind of scary is you're laying in your bed, you're legitimately like sleeping or like not quite asleep.
Uh-huh.
And then feel your covers slowly being pulled off of you. Like all the way down past the foot of your bed. That would be scary.
That's why I turned that podcast off.
Oh, is that what's happening in that podcast?
No, they were talking about, they were just talking about random paranormal activity. Like they had just a ghost or something in the house and it was doing random stuff. Like they had a bunch of different ghosts.
Oh.
But I was still like so afraid that something was going to pop right out and stare at my face. It was just like, ah. So like, yeah, when I sleep at night, actually, I'll lay in bed. And if I want to sleep on my back, I literally make sure that I have a big pillow standing upright next to my face. And I have one in front of my body. So I'm like boxed in kind of so that like if you anything goes to stare at me, I won't see them back. And of course, like my feet are never out of the blanket. Like even when I really want them to be, I'm like, nope, not today, Satan.
I'm beside you.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so we're just going to jump right into our listener stories. Our first story. So I talked about Yurgi earlier. She is a co-host of the Misery Machine podcast. This is her story. So the sleep paralysis episode happened about a decade ago and was terrifying because I was single at the time. I think it had to have been 2 or 3 in the morning as it was still dark out. And I woke up and immediately noticed that I couldn't move or breathe. And it felt like there was a huge weight on my chest as if someone was literally sitting on my collarbone. The description of a witch or demon that's depicted in art suffocating its victim is very real. I tried to scream out for my roommate, but I couldn't open my mouth. And no sound was coming from my throat, despite me trying obscenely hard. That's around when the hallucination started. I didn't see a witch or demon. It was more like a shadow that was more nebulous in shape, vaguely humanoid. It started at the bottom of my bed and then slowly washed over me. The whole incident probably lasted just a minute, but I can honestly say that I thought that I was going to die, and it seemed like an eternity. I've had it happen again in later years without hallucination, but where I knew what it was, I was able to calm myself down so that it would pass quicker.
So, along those lines, It's kind of interesting that many of these stories have so many similarities, which can lend itself, listen, let's not be restrictive. There's definitely, I believe there's way more than the universes and dimensions we know about, right? There's so many similarities. Like, she was just talking about the winter demon. If, you know, she'd never seen a winter demon before, whatever, as far as done the literature, the research, and they're describing this thing, and then somebody half a world away in Fiji is describing the same thing.
Yeah.
And neither of the two people have ever met or read the same literature. Seems kind of, you know, not quite just happenstance. I mean, it adds some validity to that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not just science. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe it is dimensional or demonic or both.
So we have another story from another podcaster, the Wild and Woke podcast. I've talked back and forth with them a bunch of times. They have a really nice podcast too. A really nice podcast. I do sound like an old lady. It's swell. So this is, from them. In 2013, my brother and I got an apartment together, and then his girlfriend moved in as well. She told us she had sleep paralysis and would see this dark demon figure in the corner of the room all the time during one of the episodes. We thought she was just full of it until weird shit started happening. She took some pictures of my brother in their room in different areas, and in every single photo, there was a dark shadow behind him. When I would be home alone, I would hear knocking coming through my closet, which was on the other side of their room. My TV would turn off and on in my bedroom while I was in the living room. My animals would act so strange around the back of the apartment where our rooms were, and I always felt dread going back there or being alone in the apartment. One morning when I woke up, I saw that I had a call from someone I didn't know at 3 a.m. And the fucked up thing is, the call lasted 1 minute, which means it was answered. But I have no memory of it. Oh my god, that's so scary. When they broke up, it was pretty nasty, and one night we forgot to lock our front door. I'm in my room when I hear the door open and my brother say, "What are you doing here?" I walk out of my room and his ex is standing in our living room, and I tell her she needs to leave. She looks at me with this stare that was insane and said, "This doesn't concern you, Caroline." She then rushes my brother and slams him into the wall. He didn't want to hurt her, but she was straight up strangling him, so he locked her arms down and ran her outside to the porch and locked the front door. She sat out there in silence for an hour and then left.
Huh.
I never spoke to her again, but I heard she had to be admitted to someplace because she was suicidal. It was a wild experience. My brother says he now has sleep paralysis.
Okay, so his was trauma-induced.
I guess so. Yeah, sleep paralysis, they say it can be stress-related.
Right.
So... let's see. This is from Chuck from Bros Before Ghost podcast.
Okay.
And remember, their very first episode is coming out on Wednesday. Okay, so my weird sleep paralysis story is when I was between 11 and 13. I can't remember for sure. My mom was a CNA studying to be an RN and wasn't home a whole lot. My dad had both his legs amputated, so he slept on the couch since it was easier. So their room was empty a lot. And I tended to sleep in there since they had a big TV with a DVR in there. Now, the way the room is set up is the bedroom has a nursery that has another room off to the side that had been made into a walk-in closet. So you could look from the bed and see the nursery, but not the closet. I was sleeping in there one night with our dog at the time, Flash, when I woke up for some reason, and I can't remember if I couldn't move or just didn't, and was staring into that nursery area. And there was a short but thick shadow rocking back and forth in the nursery doorway. It sounds silly, but it almost looked like a penguin waddling. I stared at it for what felt like hours, but it was probably only a few minutes. And after our dog got up and left the room was when I bolted out. As well, so I'm not sure if his movement broke the paralysis or if I just never was paralyzed. But I didn't tell anybody about this, and the reason I'm not sure what this was as far as a ghost or sleep paralysis was about 2 weeks later, I was in my own room, and my younger sister came and woke me up scared about something. And when I woke up fully to talk to her, you probably guessed it, she had seen the penguin man in mom's room as well. As far as I can remember, I know neither of us have ever seen it again, and I'm still unsure what it was to this day.
So wasn't there a penguin man in the Adam Sandler movie? What was that one Adam Sandler movie where the penguin chased him around?
Billy Madison. Okay, our next story is from Sabrina Benson. I lived in a home for about 15 years near Oak Grove Cemetery, where Lizzie Borden is buried. I truly believe there were tons of what I'd call drive-by spirits. In that house, I had the most episodes of sleep paralysis. I was a teenager and young adult when I lived there. I've always had strange things happen to me, and sleep paralysis was nothing new to me. But in this house, it happened a lot. I would always sleep with a small TV on and a nightlight. The nights I had sleep paralysis, I would wake up and the TV and the nightlight would be out. Both would always be out. I could always feel the menacing fear or sense of evil or dread when this would happen. And of course, I couldn't move or scream. It happened to me so often that I knew if I could even say it in my head for whatever was there to leave in the name of the Lord, mostly a strange darkness that filled the room, like darker than dark, I could feel it release me and tingling go down through my hands and feet, and that's how my body function could return. One night, I thought my dad came to check in on if I was asleep to turn the TV off, and I could hear someone come in, and I could hear the wood floor creak as if someone was standing there. And I could feel someone behind me, but I couldn't move. I felt my thick down comforter slide off me and onto the floor. I was on my side facing the center of the bed. When I could finally move and I turned around, there was no one there, just my blanket on the floor. I could go on forever about my sleep paralysis experiences. I pretty much have them in almost every home I've slept in that has some sort of spiritual activity. Sleep paralysis, for lack of a better term, I'd say.
That was like the creepy way I described it.
So we have one more listener story, I think. Her name is Kylie Lutz. Okay. My first experience with sleep paralysis was over 10 years ago. I think it was in 2008. I had graduated high school the year prior. I was living at home in Ohio with my dad, and I was struggling with really bad depression and anxiety. I was also suffering from insomnia. One night, while I was asleep, I felt a very evil presence. I didn't see anything, but I felt it, and I was terrified. I tried to scream or move, but I couldn't. It felt like it took forever before it passed. I was so confused. No one was there. I was so tired that I fell back to sleep, and it continued to happen multiple times throughout the night. I still wouldn't see anything, but I had felt this intense horror. This started happening almost every night, so I tried to not sleep at all. I would stay awake all night until my dad woke up in the morning, and then I would feel safe enough to go to sleep. I started sleeping downstairs on the couch during the day. It helped, but it wasn't any way to live. My dad ended up getting me in to see a psychiatrist, and they started me on medication and therapy. I truly believed something evil was trying to get me. I remember one instance where I felt my body being dragged off of the bed. I felt my leg being pulled, and I was slowly sliding towards the bottom of the bed. I tried to pull onto my blankets, onto anything, but I couldn't move. Once I woke up, I was still in bed. There was a night that I did see something. It was a tall, dark figure standing a distance away from me. It was all black. It just stood there. And I did the same thing where I would try to scream and move to no avail. After a few months, I started reading my Bible a lot and writing in a journal and praying. When I would have the sleep paralysis at that time, I would start praying. I would pray that Jesus would save me. I asked him to help me. I would tell him I loved him. Since I was now all too familiar with sleep paralysis and researched it by this time, I would tell myself that it wasn't real, to just stay calm and it would pass. But although I would say that I still felt this evil presence, and to this day, I do believe it's Satan. I do believe it is demonic. The amount of fear I experienced during these episodes is indescribable. It's such an intense fear, and I don't know how else to describe it. It feels like pure evil is coming, and there's nothing I can do to escape it. I ended up moving in 2009 to live with my mom in Maryland, and the sleep paralysis stopped for a long time. I would get bits here and there, but I was no longer plagued by it. I've gotten used to it not being around, that when it randomly pops up, there's an oh shit moment. But anyway, I do notice it comes when I'm not at peace, when I'm troubled and stressed and I'm not sleeping well. I've had it happen twice so far in the past month. The first time, it was actually while my friend and I stayed at a hotel for a weekend. My friend said the following morning that she heard me whimpering in my sleep. That was me trying desperately to scream. I'm sure Satan wasn't happy that we were going to a Christian conference. And the most recent incident was just last week, I believe. It happened 3 times in one night, so I forced myself to stay awake. I was really worried about my dogs that night, too. They are both very sick, so I haven't been sleeping well at all. I'll wake up just to make sure they're still breathing. And that's her story.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from sleep paralysis, because it sounds extremely terrifying.
Apparently, there are ways you can cope with it while it's happening. A good way to leave the paralyzed state is to breathe in a relaxed, calm fashion and make attempts to move small body parts such as fingers, toes, or eyelids. And that's supposed to pull you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, let you know the difference between reality and dream state. That was a pretty good episode. Interesting.
Yeah, so thanks to everybody that shared your stories. Thanks to all the other podcasters that share our podcast on their podcasts. We appreciate that. We appreciate how nice everyone's been and helping us spread the word and giving us advice and stuff like that. And next week is actually our true crime episode. So
nice.
That should be exciting.
Well, by then we should be almost at 500,000 listeners.
Yeah. Michael's retiring this week, so.
I am. We get to 500,000 listeners. That's it. I retire.
Yeah. He's kidding. He's working for the rest of our lives.
That's true, too. Yeah. She's not
so
wrong.
There's that. Well, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a good week.